Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. We're finally having some good weather again. Last week it was extremely hot, but this week we've got a little bit of a break, a little cooler. Makes it nice, but it's just what I would call an atypical Iowa summer, which is pretty awesome. I'm glad that I live in the state, and it's all good stuff. But to get back as we looked at things that's coming ahead, just to make sure that everybody's on track of what's happening, we send out devotionals 6 days a week in vitalministries.org. You can go and check that out. And we have five different writers, men that are writing for us on that. And then my wife also writes for the women. And it's just one of those nuggets that I think that really help us as we start our day and go about. We get that nugget, we get that place. And you can also get that on demand. We have an app with Vital Ministries that you can plug into as well. So we're excited about that and something that you can plug into. Also, too, I want you to mark down the date. Our next Vital Gathering, yes, we're back on. It's going to be on July 12th at Debbie's Celebration Barn on Sunday. We're going to go from 5 to 6:30. Now, here's some things that we are making some changes. It's going to be an outside event, not an inside event. We're really wanting to pay attention to the social distancing and also to allowing those measures where people just simply feel safe. So make sure when you come, you bring your lawn chair, a place to sit down. We will have refreshments there. We'll have iced tea, water, all that stuff will be bottled for you, so you don't have to worry about that as well. And then also too, we're having a special. Since we're not serving food, we're going to have ice cream. We're going to have Schwann's ice cream truck there, and we're going to enjoy that. But the night is going to be it's going to be a celebration night. We're going to have a special worship music with the Vital Ministries band, and also too, I'll be doing some teaching. And it's just going to be a great time that I look at it, that we get a chance to come back. We finally get to gather and we finally get an opportunity to worship the Lord together in an outside venue that I think is going to be a great time. So you're not going to want to miss that. So I encourage you to get on the Vital Ministries website. Check out is that we have different events and things that are coming throughout the summer to keep us engaged and also to on track as we keep our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ famous. But this past weekend, we had our annual Vital Men's Ride. We rode to the Lois Hills in western Iowa. We stayed our first night of a small community called Akron, Iowa. Population, 1,532 people. Now, what I love about these small towns, yes, it was your atypical, what I would call Iowa small town. It was clean, and the people were extremely friendly and helpful. But I love that portion about Iowa, and a lot of states have that as well. But Iowa, I think, just has a way of the friendliness of being a farm ag state, to where people were hands-on folks. And with that being said, I think people are extremely friendly. I'm glad I live in the state of Iowa as I do. But see, our first night we stayed at a place in Akron called Hole in the Wall Lodge. Yes, you heard that right. I encourage you, Google that. Look at that, Hole in the Wall Lodge. It was a rustic old barn converted into a lodge. And we had our own rooms. Each man, we had 12 riders with us this weekend. We were the only ones there. It's a beautiful place for different venues. But we stayed there and had our own room, and it was just really, really cool. I highly encourage you to look at this unique lodge and maybe look at it as an opportunity. Maybe if you're looking for that unique place, quiet, solitude, hole-in-the-wall lodge is the place for you. And as we were there, I noticed in our men, there was a hunger in them. And what I noticed in the hunger was, it was a hunger to connect, a hunger to laugh, a hunger to engage with each other. Today, men are downplayed as what I would call, we're looked upon as simply buffoons and unwilling to lead. Our culture is getting what I think more and more feminized, in which men take a second role in leading instead of leading as God has called us to do. Now, these men, as I told you, were hungry and real men of God. They lead their families, they lead at their places of work, and they lead without fear. That was our theme last weekend, faith over fear. Matter of fact, we made a t-shirt that had that logo, and we'll actually have that as an opportunity that will be on our website if you would like to purchase it. Faith over fear. Men who choose to lead without fear and get back into our economy. That's what the whole weekend was all about. And what I mean as we look is stepping back into our economy. What we did is we ate at restaurants. We slept in motels. We visited an incredible soda shop in Lamar's, eating our favorite Blue Bunny ice cream. And we got back into life. We engaged. We had a great time. We had a morning teaching every morning, getting into God's Word. And then we jumped onto our motorcycles and went down the highway. It was just an exceptional weekend. But see, moments like these show what I call moments of marks of man, of who a man is. In the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at this one verse. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. It says this. It says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love." Now, what struck me about this verse is act like men. That means to be honorable. The verse of act like men allows men or manhood to be something that can be attained. In the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at the five marks of a man that are revealed out of this verse, as I just read, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. The first mark we're going to look at this morning, but it's going to be this: be watchful. Men have vision. The second mark is this: stand firm. Men aren't afraid to take a minority position. Man, I tell you what, we're going to have a good one on that this next week. Mark number three is act like men. Men are team players, not individuals doing their own journey. Mark number four will be strong. Men are wired to produce value. This means men work. Mark number five, let it all be done out of love. This means men are protectors. We're going to go in great detail about these marks as we talk about vision today. But see, these five marks form a code that defines what it means to be a man. Another verse that goes along with the code is this. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says this: "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish things." Now, here's a paraphrased version of that verse that I'd like to read you this morning. It says this: "When I was a boy, I spoke like a boy, I thought like a boy, and I reasoned like a boy. But when I became a man, I gave up my boyish ways." We need more men today, in such a time as this, to live as men and not and give up what I call boyish ways. It's time that men should be lived out instead of being lost. Men, we need this code, these five marks, to become a choice of life, to be real men of God, and that we lead with our wives, we lead with our finances, and we lead as men of God itself. It's important, it's essential, and I think this morning as we look at the first mark, we're going to really see how these marks play into our life, the code of how it means to step into what I call true manhood. So this morning, let's look at mark number one: men have a vision. Now, point number one is this, as we jump into this, is boys are short-sighted and men play the long game. It says this in Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." See, boys live only for today. They wait for inspiration to strike or for someone to hand them a big break. They look and wait for the perfect woman to walk into their lives. Men, on the other hand, dream of something bigger. They don't walk into the deficiency of what the world tries to tell them to step into. No, they work towards and lead. I own my own construction company. I've been self-employed for 28 years. In that journey, I've dreamed big, I've prayed big, and the Lord has allowed me to live big. Now, that takes vision. Now, with an umbrella of mercy, I'm not meaning for this to look as a proud moment, but yet I want to help you see the humility in it. But I've asked the Lord for His help throughout my life. I trust Him in the midst of having a construction company, but He also has helped me at the same time as I've faced the mountains, the good moments. He's been with me at every step. But also, too, the Lord has been with me at the same time as I fought through the valleys of life. That's simply life in itself. This past spring break, I went to Colorado Springs with my wife and our puppy Gia to visit our daughter and her family in Colorado Springs. I tell you what, it's a joy to travel and visit grandkids. My grandson, Croy, who calls me Pops, likes to build things. So I took some blocks of wood and some screws and things that we could build together, small things that we could create. So I took them out and took them to my grandson, and so we started building. He was, man, I tell you what, he was all over watching it, and I taught him how to drill, and I also taught him how to use a screw gun and use the screws. He was just on it, just focused. He was screwing at a short amount of time, screwing things together. And as he was doing that, he looked up at me, and my grandson said this. He said, "Pops, I want to build things. Will you teach me?" I tell you what, man, that was incredible for a 10-year-old boy to have a vision to build. I was inspired. My heart, like how the Grinch stole Christmas, grew 3 times bigger that day. I love it when young men have vision. Young Nehemiah, he was also in the Bible. He was a young man who had a vision to go back and build the fallen walls of Jerusalem. First thing that happens is that God placed the vision in Nehemiah's heart. So Nehemiah prays to God to make a way for him to go back to his country, because he was actually, at the time, he was imprisoned. He was a slave in another nation. But see, God opens the pathway and has King Artaxerxes, who gives him a letter of authorization to go back to the place of where he once lived. He also gave him materials to rebuild the wall and gave him money, and that all takes vision, folks. Sure, Nehemiah faced many pushbacks. He was criticized and shouted, as it was said in Nehemiah 6:3, that Nehemiah, he shouts back down to the boys who are oppressing him. And he says this, "I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down to visit or to talk with you. Why should the work that stop while I leave and have to come down and talk with you?" That takes what I call, folks, long vision, the completion of a wall. I think that men who don't dream haven't asked God to give them a vision for their lives. They live in the shortness of life itself and in the moments, as opposed to having what I call long-haul vision. It says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Men, that will create vision, knowing that God gives it to you. Just all you have to do is ask. This past week, I hit the 60-year mark in my life, and I'm still building homes, leading men at Vital Ministries, and I'm entering next week into a possibility of being the chaplain of our local sheriff's department. God has placed a vision on my heart to encourage men like this, men who want to be something different. And in a way that God has placed on my heart also, too, a vision to be a watchman in my community and to serve in any way that I can. See, the game isn't over. It says in the last days in the book of Joel that old men will dream dreams. That takes vision. And I'm not too old to step into that kind of vision. And I hope that anybody's listening out there today, this isn't just for young men and to have division, have vision within themselves. But I also think it matters what age, that God places vision in men. And I hope, ladies, that you are out there listening today, that even though I'm really focusing on men, I hope that this also helps you to, as with your husband, to ask questions about vision itself, about leading, about the direction he goes. The next brings me to point number 2. Boys live for today, men think long term. See, culture today depicts men to have no vision. They sit around, drink beer, and act like junior high boys, and they live their lives as dirty old men. Sad, isn't it, when we look at that, how the world depicts a man as a boy living for today. There was a man by the name of Arthur Genesis. He noticed how older men got drunk and acted like boys. They didn't take care of their families because all they were more concerned about was after they were finished with their work day, or if they worked, was about getting to the pub and drinking Irish whiskey. He knew that these men couldn't abstain from alcohol. It was a losing battle, and he knew it. So he decided to create an alcoholic drink that would allow someone to consume more ounces, but yet not get drunk. Now, this man was a follower of Jesus who had a vision. Now, before you criticize me about the story, listen to the man's journey. He goes out and takes out money, $9,000, in order to lease a factory. which later he paid in full, which today that would be equivalent of $147,000 U.S. People asked him, "What are you doing?" You see, Genesis, the man, he had a vision. He had a vision, and he also, too, the place where his factory, he also had water rights for his beer. And by designing and creating a new beer for the pub, it allowed men to drink more without getting drunk. And I tell you what, his vision stands even today. That's what men do. Men have vision. Vision, by definition, requires us to break out of the short-term, overnight delivery, instant download mentality, and engage in the long game. I want you to think about this, how God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God says this to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land in which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to those who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." See, Abram was the first Jew to have a vision to live and to go to a place of greatness, a new nation. Abram left, but it says this in Genesis 13:3. It says, "To look over to the heavens and number the stars. If you can number them," God says, "so shall your offspring." That takes vision beyond his years. He's in the long game, thinking greater. See, boys live for today. Men have long-term thinking. Sometimes men with a vision, it goes beyond you. I'm a second generation, what I would call nail bender for my father, Phil. My dad is a mountain of a man in my own eyes who invested in his two sons who would follow him and his footsteps in construction. My brother and I, we're both together in a construction company. We also, too, we have two sons. See, they're also builders in a different way. My brother's son, Preston, is going to be a medical doctor. He's coming back to his hometown, small town USA, Oskaloosa. He's not going to the city to practice medicine. But he's coming back to Oskaloosa to build hope into the lives for people who live in what I call critical moments. Yeah, he's a nail bender and helping people get well. My son, he's a church planter that's living in Plantation, Florida. He's investing his life in building families, bringing the hope of Jesus to people who are looking for hope. Yeah, he's a nail bender helping people find hope. They too both have sons. See, I believe this without a doubt, that the Sarig destiny, the Sarig legacy, the Sarig vision is still moving, that God is using the Sarig men in mighty ways, all because my dad, he had a vision to work hard, he loved Jesus, and also in his life, he desired to finish well. This brings me to point number 3. Boys drift, men focus. See, we need men today that have focus. See, focus is hard, especially when we live in a culture who drifts from simply moment to moment. Focus is the essential bedrock of vision itself. Have you ever seen the movie, what I call City Slickers? I love that movie. It's a fun movie, I don't know if it's on Netflix or some of these other movies. I encourage you to watch it. It's good. But I love the portion of it where Curly, he's an old cowboy. And he's out and he's rode in what I would call the Western era, back when it was started into the new generation. And now he's on as City Slickers. He brings these men and women that come out to what I would call these ranches and wannabe cowboys. And he leads them on a traveling with these cows and on this herding them into another location. Well, Curly, he takes a moment with Mitch. He said, Mitch is in a midlife crisis in his life, looking to what's next. Curly, he looks at Mitch and he says this. He says, "The secret of life is this. It's the one thing." He sticks his finger to the sky. "See, you stick to that and the rest of life doesn't matter." See, the one thing, men, is vision. What's your vision? Once you find it, stick with it. I can remember is when I hit a crossroads at 45 years old, and I was thinking, what's next? I had great success as a builder, and I thought there was something more. So I thought the Lord wanted me, and I don't disagree with how he moved, because it actually catapulted me in different ways of leading. But I moved and started studying in the commissioned pastor of what it meant to do, and started doing the studies in my church. So I chased it. The only problem was being a pastor itself was out of focus. I went into the church world for 4.5 years, and to be honest, folks, it literally tied me in knots. Now, an umbrella of mercy here. I want you to stay with me on this and help me to see the focus. You see, my design, my makeup is evangelism, not pastoring a church. The one thing that got lost, I've realized after I had left in the next year, that the Lord's vision for me was to be in ministry out of my work. And out of my work came ministry. To be and to aid and to be with people themselves. See, I find vision in what I do, and out of that comes ministry. I love doing vital ministries. I love doing the radio, even as we're on today. I love doing that portion of my life. I love that when we do every other month the vital gatherings, as I talked to you at the very beginning of this podcast today. And also, too, I get an opportunity for another portion of the vision is to being a chaplain for a possible sheriff's posse. That's the vision, the dream that the Lord has placed in my heart. See, too often men drift through life without no vision, simply taking up air, going through the motions, living and dying with no vision. See, we need men today to have the mark of vision. Men who are watchful, not boys who just play games. Men with vision, lead families, lead at work, and lead in their communities. I like this quote from President John F. Kennedy. He says this, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men." See, today, men's vision comes from praying to Jesus and asking the vision and allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede and deliver that vision in your life. That's what it is to have focus and to have vision. See, I think today is this. We need to carry the mark of vision in our society that's losing vision in the chaos and the conformity to do as the world simply does today. It's all around us. All you have to do is get on the news at a short amount of time and you can see the lack of vision. Where are we going? It's more than the disease that we just came from, for the virus that's happened in COVID-19. It's more than the vision that's been lost in a judicial system as the police. I tell you what, we live in a culture today that has a lot of broken systems. And I think the reason why they've become broken is because they've lacked vision in them. See, we've lost what it means to allow God to lead us in the direction as men and women in this world, in our culture today. If we want to know the direction to do, we won't have things that have happened and the bad things that have happened in our lives and the things that go wrong if we have vision of what Jesus Christ is doing for our lives. See, folks, I think as men, vision is everything. It must be a mark that defines us and helps us to lead, not only to the generation that we live in now, but the generations that are up ahead. I've heard many, many people say recently that America's in trouble. I think America's in trouble because it lacks vision. Where do we go next? The very forefathers who started and created our country got the vision as they got into the Bible, and out of the Bible came the Constitution and the principles of the law that was in them. It was all be created because of the vision that the Lord had instilled in men that was written in the Bible, that out of that vision came a mighty nation. We need more men and women, and especially as I speak to men today, we need today men that have vision, men who are willing to go to the next step. But you know, guys, folks, the reason why I think at times we lack the vision is because we forget to go to our knees and pray for the vision. See, in the book of Joel, it says this. It says, gives us a prophetic word, that older men will dream dreams and the younger men will have visions. That's a word. That's a word for today. That should be a word today as you sit there and listen. That's a prophetic word that we can live out, and I believe that we are. I think the greatest days yet, and I think, men, we need to be the forerunners. We need to stand and be the watchmen of our communities, the watchmen in our families, the watchmen in our churches, and the watchmen who take a place and lead in our nations. Men, today is the day to start living out the marks of what it means to be a real man. Quit playing around. Quit being a boy. Step to the plate. As they say, it's time to man up, men. That's the call. Be men of vision. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity. As men, that you have placed marks, the very marks that I'm speaking about this morning come from you, out of your word, out of the word that you created in men's hearts that they wrote down and they penned the words that you spoke into them. Lord, I pray today, we need more men that have vision. Lord, I pray today that you would give us that vision. Give us greater thinking of long term and less short term that we create on our own. And I thank you so much for that. And we praise you, Jesus, because you were a man of vision, a man who saw the long haul and not the short haul. You saw the long haul past the cross, not the short haul of it. And we praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to look at mark number 2. Men take a minority position. It's going to be a great time. I hope you don't miss it. And I'm excited about this series. And I really believe without a doubt that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us as men, and also help the inspiration of our wives to stand alongside us as we lead. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.